And not everyone fits into your mold. And you're like the people who don't need a physician. You're pretty good. You think you're pretty smart. And you think you don't need anything. But you're going to lose everything you have. And you already know it. And since you've accepted it, then live with it. You've accepted it. I'm glad. I'm glad you're happy in your miserable life that's going to end. That's what you get. You have your penny. Now take it and go. Enjoy what you have, because it's going to be taken from you. And you know what? I'm glad I love to see men content in their fate, if that is their fate. If it is not your fate, then there was nothing that would pain me more than to see you content in such a state. How do you know what your fate is? Well, you don't, do you? It's a funny thing, is that predestination doesn't mean I don't make effort. Predestination means my efforts and the results I get show what my destiny was. You know, how I show up at the wedding is the proof of my destiny. And all the things I do along the way, they are part of my destiny. And the striving I do, it is my destiny to strive and succeed. Because it is manifest that if I do nothing, I shall fail. If these things be in you and abound, you will not fail. Make your calling and election sure. Verse 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them. Now he starts asking them questions because they're just kind of milling around. Obviously the answer of Jesus was not what the guy was looking for, because he gave a better answer than maybe the Pharisees had, and they didn't find fault with it, and they didn't expect it, and so they were kind of like, wow, I thought he was going to answer us along the lines we have this discussion. You know, because they probably discussed the law and the greatest commandments, and they had some, you know, discussion about it, and it was an unexpected answer. That seems hard to believe, but hey, now Jesus answers them a question. Verse 42, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Whose son is Christ? What do you think about the Messiah? They probably thought, this is odd, because this is like the elephant in the room, right? I mean, everyone is saying, the question on the people's lips, is this the Messiah? Is this the Christ? Because Christ and Messiah, again, are equivalent terms. What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. Well, he's of David, according to the prophets, you know. Then said he unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, verse 44, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? It is not appropriate for us, a father, to call his son Lord. And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. They weren't able to answer that one, because to them, you know, again, to us, we may see a answer, but to them, the idea, he's David's son, so he would call David Lord. Because the son is always looking back at the father as greater than he. You know, they look at, the farther back you look in the Jewish tradition, the greater the man becomes. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham is great. He's their earliest father they look to as the father of the promise. They look to the greatness of their ancestors, and they call the men who were their sires Lord. Even that idea of that word sire. Yes, sire. You know, a horse sires a foal. I mean, the male horse, the stud, or the, I think that's what they call it. You know, he sires. It means to be the father. It's the English. Well, the word begotten is much like sire. They're synonyms. To sire, to begot, to become the father of. To father as a verb. And so this is an interesting verse. The Lord said unto my Lord. This is quoted from Psalm 110:1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. David was looking to his Lord. The Lord said to his Lord, speaking of Messiah. Well, how do you know that was speaking of Messiah? Well, let's look at it for the sake of argument. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, till I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, but not in the day of thy weakness. That's my addition. Because in the day, they rejected him in the day of his weakness. There's plenty of prophecies about the rejection of Christ, but these are the ones about his power, of the Messiah. This was taken to be by the Jews to be a messianic psalm. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. When he returns, he's still going to be young. When Jesus Christ returns, he will not have aged. He'll still be in his early 30s. When he comes, I'm going to be older than him. That to me is weird. I mean, if he comes in my lifetime, because now I've proceeded past the point where he would have been, you know, he'll be a younger man than I. In appearance, he still has the dew of his youth. He sat down at the right hand of God. You know, these were mysteries to them. They didn't know what he was even, you know, to them. They knew this was a messianic passage, but they didn't really understand the signification. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We did that study in Hebrews. You can go back and listen to the Hebrews study we did to catch all that. Melchizedek, of all likelihood, is the pre-incarnate Christ. It is. That's what Paul says it is. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through the kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Shall have victory. You know, there you have it. The Christ is going to return for judgment and for victory and for destruction. But he's posing this to them as a question. How does David say this about Christ? And they couldn't answer. Because to them, you know, there was a lot of confusion. You know, it's easy to look back in hindsight. Well, it says that because Christ was the Son of God and he was the Lord of David because he was the heir of God and he was greater than his father, David, because his father was God. And so it becomes a bit of a 2020 hindsight issue. If David called him Lord, how is he his son? Well, there's scriptures that say he's his son. And there's a lot of things like that, where you have one scripture that seems to say one thing and one scripture that seems to say another. And they have to be interpreted, obviously, with a greater knowledge that comes by the Spirit of God.